Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
What is
up, everybody?
Okay, well, I'm just gonna stop.
Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your hostess with the mostest, Chris Vaughn. On the other line, far, far away, in a basement all his own, is my co-host, Josh Hammer Time Shrinko.
What's up?
Is that good? So is that buffer? Was that buffer-esque, would you say?
You missed it, though, because I was gonna say my co-host, Chris Sandstorm Vaughn. And you're gonna reminisce on back in your Xbox days. So
I know, dude.
I remember Sandstorm.
That. Yeah, absolutely, dude. Well, it's been a long time since we recorded an episode. I mean, I think it's probably been what, like...
Yeah, it's a month. I looked. I thought it had been a month. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not too long. So some things have happened since, for sure, but things are starting to gear back up, getting ready for spring. And we actually have a couple guests on the show tonight. Pretty excited about it.
Pretty cool.
The Remington cousins. I was going to say brothers, but I don't think that they're brothers. They are in fact cousins, the Remington cousins. One of which, you know, our listeners probably already have heard about this because it's been making the rounds on social media and the interwebs and whatnot, that Rex Remington just set the Indiana record for smallmouth bass. So we're going to have him on to talk about it.
Crazy. I that was like out of the left field. I would have not.
Yeah.
It wasn't just out of left field. It was out of left field, like. You know, usually when state records like that are broken, you'll have like a progression of like, oh, there's people getting close or whatever. And this dude smashed the state record, I think, by a pound.
I think it was over a pound. Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. And where it came from is even crazier. But
let's bring him on, dude. Let's hang on.
Before we get, we are going to bring him and his cousin Dean on. I want to talk a couple things. One, you and I are about ready to embark on our early spring trip. We keep adding trips throughout the season. I don't know how we get by with this, but we have a spring trip and now we have an early spring trip. So we're gonna go swirl up some Susquehanna smallmouth with Randy.
Josh and I both toiling away late hours in preparation for leaving for a couple of days working. Yeah. I think last week I worked like 65 hours. This week, you know, I'm going to be working until probably 7 o'clock every night getting ready, but it'll be worth it. We're going out to see old Randeman Long out on the Susquehanna. So pretty excited about that for sure. Need some time off, need to get away. Looking forward to getting out and fishing. It's been over a month since I've been fishing. So yeah, definitely very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I got out and waited a little bit, did that. But yeah, really the last time I did go fishing with David Williams. Shout out to David Williams. Took him out on the tippy. Quite the lackluster trip, but hey, can't win them every time. The fish are definitely in more of a, we won't get into that a ton in this episode because I want to bring our guests on, but fish are in this weird, in Indiana anyways, they're in a weird like transition between winter and spring spots, and it's can be one of the trickiest times of the year to find them. We got them dialed in the winter time.
It's a little bit of feast or famine right now, I think.
Yeah, more famine than feast from what I've seen, but but yeah, all right, man. Well, let's bring these boys on and talk a little bit of Indiana smallmouth.
We'll see if we can get an education here.
We need it for sure.
We definitely need it.
We got Rex and Dean Remington on. What's up, guys? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Couple of absolute legends just entered the studio here. I actually just checked to see if they had updated the the DNR's the DNR's website, and in fact they have updated their website officially. The Indiana state record holder, Rex Remington, pretty amazing. I mean, honestly, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Had you even been close to, I mean, in other states or other trips, have you even been close to that 8-pound mark before with smallmouth?
Oh, absolutely not. No, no way. Probably my biggest up to that point was maybe 4.5. In a certain state, yeah.
That had to have felt like a different animal. Yeah. It probably felt like a different species.
Yeah. That's my biggest bass ever of any species, really. So,
I mean, you're in Indiana, so that doesn't, I mean, you know.
8-pound largemouth is crazy. Yeah. I mean, people catch an 8-pound largemouth in Indiana, it's like, wow, that's a huge, I mean, that's a monster, but 8-pound smallmouth, I mean, that's crazy. And honestly, you know, it's kind of nice that we're up in that, because, you know, every once in a while you look at like the national, you know, all the different state records or whatever, and Indiana's record has not been awesome. I mean, it was like, was it 6'11"? Is that what the record was before?
It's 7-something.
Yeah, 7.74, I think's what it was. Yeah, before. Yeah.
Well, either way, it's nice that we're up. We're up with the big boys now. There's an 8-pound. There's an 8-pounder on the board. We're up with the big boys.
So was it 826, Rex?
823 was the official weight on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear a lot of things about this.
It says 836 on the DNR's website. So they're giving you a little extra.
Yeah, that's like the ounce equivalent, like 83.6 ounces, but on the decimal like 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Pounds, yeah, just under 8.4, yeah, just a little under. Yeah.
So, before we get started about this fish, because obviously that's going to be the bulk of this, I want to hear really about just you and Dean. Supposedly, you guys are cousins. I heard brothers, and I heard cousins, then I heard father son. So I don't know what to think
here. Yeah, you've been talking to Dean beforehand, haven't you?
Yeah. So I would like you guys just to tell me, you know, where you're from, you know, what your fishing, you know, career has been thus far, and we'll give you the stage. So
yeah, okay. Well, I'm from Madison County up Alexandria, Indiana, originally born and raised up there, and my folks and brother, sister-in-law still live in that area. I moved down to Seymour in 1990, and I've been fishing Monroe Lake. I can remember going down there with mom and dad when we were kids, crappie fishing and so forth. I've really kind of fished it, you know, hard here in the last maybe 30 years or so since I've been down in the Seymour area. So I live in Freetown, outside of Freetown now. So Monroe's probably the closest main lake to go. And I've been, got into bass fishing when I moved down here about 30 years ago, and got into tournament fishing and things like that. And then, as that's progressed, partnered up with Dean about 10, 12 years ago. We've been fishing tournaments together since then. And, we've had a lot of good times doing it.
Cool. He has mostly fished like tournaments on Monroe, or do you guys go around to other?
Mostly Indiana. Yeah. The Indiana circuits, Hoosier openings and things like that. And so Patoka, the Ohio River, things like that. And we've had some classic deals where we've been on Gunnersville and some other places like that over the years.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fun. The Indiana is, I always, look at like the pro field, and obviously you have Wheeler from Indiana, but there's a few other guys on the pro tour. And if you come out of Indiana knowing how to catch fish, I mean, you can pretty much catch fish anywhere because it's brutal here. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can't say it's made it any easier when we go out of state to catch them. Sometimes we you know, everybody has their struggles, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess I already kind of alluded to it, but the state record fish was caught out of Monroe, which is crazy. I mean, it's really not known. It's definitely not known as a smallmouth lake.
Well,
I mean,
we should set the stage here, because Monroe, like, I fish Monroe, I don't know, 300 times. Like, I've been on that lake enough to hate it, You know, like I do not like that. Like, I can't tell you the last time I've been on there, but I mean, I've never personally seen a smallmouth caught out of there. Now, I know that, you know, especially when we started the podcast and people would message us and they'd be like, dude, there's a big smallmouth in there. And I'd kind of like roll my eyes every time somebody tell me that. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. You know, I'm not fishing for smallmouth there. And then when this came across, I was like, holy shit, I cannot believe that came out of Monroe. Yeah. So, Rex, you and Dean, have you guys caught smallmouth out of there before then? Is that a regular occurrence for you guys?
Well, I wouldn't say regular. I would say over the years, I've probably caught, I don't know, 10 or 12 or so, and some of them maybe in a 3, 3.5, pushing 4 pound range. But it's not that common. You'll see them weighed in tournaments throughout the year. You know, maybe see a couple, 2 or 3 weighed in, and then usually they're good ones when they're weighed in. You know, I've seen some of them over 5 before.
So, that's crazy, though. Only in the last 30 years, you've only caught a handful of them. It just so happens that one of them is.
Yeah,
that's wild. What about you guys? You're from the southern part of the state too, aren't you?
That's where I live now. Down just north of Evansville. But I grew up in Anderson, just south of Rex there. So we, growing up, we were only 10, 15 minutes apart. But it really wasn't until, I think it's about 2010, that my dad had passed away. And I made a decision that it's time to start getting back into the fishing like I used to, you know, when I was a kid. And I knew Rex fished all the time. So I gave him a call and where'd we go? Brush Creek, I think it was that first time.
Yep.
And of course, at that time, you still fishing out of a John boat. I didn't even have a boat. And so then we wound up getting I bought a John boat. Then he wound up getting a glass boat and he made the fatal mistake of asking me if I wanted to fish tournaments. And now that's where he's at. He's stuck with me. So,
Yeah.
And the one day that I don't go fishing with him, I mean, you'd count on one hand the number of times either of us are fishing without the other one. And the one day I don't go, he does something pretty dang special.
So, oh, you weren't with him on that?
That's
brutal.
That burns. I can imagine getting that call, man.
Rex, did you text him or how did you tell him about it?
He did get a call. I mean, it started out, after I'd caught the fish, I'd weighed it on my hand scale and seen it was, you know, 8.81 on my hand scale. I took a couple pictures and I texted them to him and didn't hear anything right away. So I just started fishing again for, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh, you kept fishing. My Lord, this man's a savage.
So I gave him about 15 minutes. I couldn't stand any longer. So I ended up calling him and I think he was out on his tractor So I showed him, I said, did you see the pics? You know, he was looking at him. He goes, holy shit. You know, look at that. He goes, I think that's a state record. And said, I looked it up before I texted him. And yeah, I said, I think the record was like 7.4 or something. So, you know, at that point, it kind of getting a little crazy. He wouldn't, you know, like, what are you going to do? You need to get that thing certified. I don't know, Dean. I don't want to go through all that process and, you know, get it certified and all that, finding a scale and all that. He goes, oh, you gotta get it certified. So I don't know. I may just turn it loose, Dean. I don't know. But so I'm sitting out there in the boat and Dean, he's the guy that, basically made it all happen. I mean, he's on the phone, calling our buddies and everybody to try to track down people that could help get it certified on a Sunday. You know, it was probably 10, almost 11 o'clock when I caught that fish. So he's on the phone to, you know, we got good buddies, Chad Smith and Blake Albertson and Aaron McAlexander and all these guys collectively, they were able to, you know, get a hold of Indiana conservation officer, Matt Mowder, who has agreed to meet me at a certified scale in Spencer to get weighed. And then they also got a hold of the IDNR biologist, Dave Kataka, that was agreed to meet me back at the lake where I released it. So, I mean, that's between those guys, if they hadn't, if Dean hadn't been on the phone doing all the networking, you know, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking, because I would
That's kind of a hard process to go through to get it weighed on a certified scale. I mean, Spencer, for those who aren't from Indiana, that's not like right down the road either. I mean, that was probably what, 25, 30 minutes?
About closer to an hour. Yeah. About an hour from the lake. Yeah.
So you just had it in your live well and were able to keep it alive. Now, what's the rule? Do you have to actually have it released back live for it to count, or can it just be?
No, they don't have any real requirements on that. They do need it to be certified or weighed on a certified scale. Okay. And, with witnesses, and then also they wanted a length measurement on it. But other than that, you could have kept the fish if you so desired. But my whole objective the whole time was to make sure that fish was released. I mean, I'm big catch and release. You know, like I say, we do a lot of tournament fishing. You know, if we did release the fish after the tournament, there would be no tournaments, you know, to sustain that. So
for sure,
that was my whole objective, was to make sure that fish got released. And it was about probably a 2.5-3 hour process just to get connections made through Dean and those guys to get it set up to even get it weighed.
Yeah, and I saw the release video. It did swim off, and I mean, it looked like it was just like, you know, that it had been, you know, somebody picked it up for a grip and grin and put it right back. I mean, it rocketed right off,
real healthy.
You want them to.
Yeah, you would. I think the cold water probably helped that. I mean, it's not, if that was the summertime, that might have been a little bit of a rough.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I saw that video. Honestly, Rex, that like the seeing the state record, I was like, first when I saw it, I was like, what? Monroe? And then I was like, well, I guess. And then you know, you see a lot of potential state records that like get disqualified because, you know, somebody didn't do something right or whatever. And then I saw you releasing that fish, and that I almost brought a tear to my eye. I was like, dude, that dude put it back in the freaking water. What a freaking stud.
When you saw the pictures of it were pretty good. But the video of it, when you like went to put it back, I was like, that was because I had seen the pictures a couple of times, you know, on pages or whatever. And I don't even remember where I saw the video, but I saw it and I was like, when you see it without, you know, holding it up and that kind of stuff, when you see it go back in the water, you're just like, you can see, appreciate how big it was. I mean, that record that you broke wasn't like new either. I mean, I think that thing is, how old was the record? Wasn't it like in the 80s or something?
I think it's 30 some years. Yeah. 1992, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy, man. So were you, the big question is, were you live scoping or were you,
I was going to ask that.
Well, actually, no, I've got it on my boat. I try to use it. I'm not that skilled with it yet. We're working at it. I didn't see the fish and throw it to it like that or anything like that. No. So I'm not that good with it.
So
I wouldn't care if you were. I just was.
Yeah, you know, I don't. We don't care. So. Yeah. On Monroe, I'm actually curious this time of year. It's been a long time since I fished there. Are you guys, you know, we're not asking you to give any locations or anything like that, but are you guys fishing more offshore this time of year, or are they shallow at all?
Well, this time, like I say, when, you know, first part of March, I've seen them both ways, but, this time I was fishing more like channel swing banks and things like that, you know, not necessarily in deep water, but where they transition and stuff like that. So, just kind of typical pre-spawn areas, you know?
Yeah.
Have you caught smallmouth in different areas than largemouth when you've been there, or you just kind of usually get them mixed in?
It's usually kind of a mix. I mean, these areas, I first caught the fish. I had already caught a couple largemouth that morning in that same general area. And, most of the times you go down there and, you know, you never expect that you're going to catch anything like that. So to find anything like that, it's a total surprise. But most times I've caught some of them smallmouth, they've been, you know, in the same type of areas like a transition bank, you know, early spring, probably when I've caught some of the better ones I've caught.
Hmm. So the question is, did you put it right back where you caught it, or did you just put it back anywhere?
It's close to home. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe in a couple of years we'll see another record, maybe a little bit bigger even. That's great.
That's off if anybody does that. Yeah.
No, I met you. I met you. I met you catching me. No, we don't want anybody else to do it. No, you keep it.
So did they get a scale sample off that fish?
No, they did not take a scale sample.
Hmm. I figured that they would, if that DNR, the biologist would have wanted that, but that one, I just caught one that was 22 1/4 last month, and I kicking myself. I was like, dang, man, I wish I would have got a scale sample. I just didn't think of it at the time. So,
yeah. Hmm.
That fish had to be pretty old. I mean, how long, I don't even think I asked, how long was the fish?
That was 23 inches.
Yeah, look at that. Quest for 23. We started that. So you're one of the very few guys on this podcast that's actually beat that quest. So, yeah.
I didn't know what the standard was for us, a smallmouth length. So that's 23 is the standard then, huh?
23 is like, never. Yeah, it's like
a, yeah, that's like, yeah, that's once like in a lifetime. 15 pound largemouth. You know, that's like, yeah, that's crazy. It's like a state record, Rex.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah, that's funny. So have you disclosed the bait you caught it on, or are you keeping that?
I can disclose that. Yeah.
Let's hear it.
It was on a Berkeley Stunna jerk bait.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense this time of year. So
were you fishing by yourself, or did you have somebody with you?
No, I was by myself. Yeah, it was the first trip of the year for me. Yeah.
Man, what a trip. What a first trip. I mean,
if you'd had somebody with you, they probably would have messed it up. You know, they probably
I've seen Dean's net jobs, you know. We've kind of, yeah.
Oh, Cody, I was surprised he even got it in the boat without me there to net it for him. So. Trust me, I've netted a lot of fish over the years, so.
Yeah.
All for him.
So were you when you hooked it, like how long did it take before you knew it was like a really special fish?
I could tell pretty soon as when I set the hook that there was a big fish, because you could kind of feel the head shakes and kind of the bulldog. I had no idea what it was. I mean, it'd come up on the top and rolled a couple times and got closer to the boat, but it was still kind of bulldogging pretty hard. But I didn't really know until I'd netted it and laid it in the bottom of the boat that it was a smallmouth. I thought it was just a big largemouth the whole time.
It's still, I mean, that's still, I bet you were, what's your personal best largemouth?
It's like 715.
Yeah. So you probably knew it was like, well, this is at least one of the biggest fish I've ever caught, period.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, initially it didn't look that big. I mean, it looked big. And what I remember probably most is when I went to pick it up to take the bait out, just how kind of big its mouth really was. I mean, you can almost fit your hand down in the mouth. And I said, well, this for a smallmouth, that's huge. But it didn't look, I had no idea it was eight pounds until I put it on a scale.
That's crazy, man. I mean, I can't. Jeez. I mean, we fish rivers mostly around here, so we're never going to catch the state record. That 22 1/4 I just caught was 566, and I can't even imagine putting a 3-pounder on top of that. Like, that's like, that doesn't even seem real. That's crazy. Yeah.
So you ended up, after a while, I'm assuming Dean finally convinced you that you needed to try and leave the water to get this fish, you know, weighed and that kind of thing. I'm assuming you ran back, and do you just have like live well on your boat to kind of keep the thing going, or did you get a bucket, or how'd you keep it alive?
Well, I've got, you know, got live wells on my boat, and I'd sat on the lake for probably from 11 o'clock until, you know, maybe almost 2 o'clock or a little after 2, while Dean and my buddies were making these phone calls and stuff. So during that time frame, I had rejuvenate in the live well. I had the live wells full, aerator was running constantly, and periodically I'd drain a little water and put fresh water in. I mean, the water temp that day was like 45, so the water was still pretty cold. Sure. Even though it was kind of that, it was a bright, kind of a sunny, warm day. And then when we finally figured out where we're going to do, where we're going to take it, I ended up plugging the overflows on the live well. I had both live wells full and just, you know, drove it up there with the live wells running. During the entire weigh-in process, I had a weigh-in bag, it was full of water. So the only time the fish was really out of the water was the time we had it laid on the scale to be weighed.
We'd be screwed in that situation, Chris. Cause
yeah, we would.
Well, at least in my boat, we both have jet boats. Chris took the live well out of it because he owned it then. Do you have a live well in your boat, in your new boat?
Nope.
Yeah, we would be so screwed. We would have to what we would do.
I just fillet it up, start munching.
Oh, man. So you caught it on a Berkeley, is it Stunna? Is that with an A? Don't they spell it like the kids spell it? Yeah. What color was it, like a bait fish type of color? I would assume.
Well, I think it's called stealth shad is the color. Going on.
Yeah, so probably got a little bit of clear, a little bit of shine to it. I would imagine
a little chartreuse tint to it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So spinning jerk baits. I mean, that's classic springtime.
And even like the way that you caught it and like the fact that it was such a, even for you, was just kind of like a freak fish, you know, that like, I mean, you have to wonder like how long that record will stay. I mean, I would assume a long, long, long time. I mean, is it kind of set in for you? Like how, I mean, you tell other people that don't really fish or whatever, or even people that fish that aren't really like bass people or whatever, they don't really care. But like for the people that do this a lot, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal. Is it kind of set in for you? Like how, out of nowhere this is and how long this is going to be around. And I mean, like it's something that's going to keep your name will be out there, you know, for a really long time.
I guess it never really hit me how big it was, I guess, until, you know, I started seeing all the posts on Facebook and how quickly that kind of exploded and the different sources and people reaching out, you know, wanting to talk about it. Cause I didn't realize, you know, I guess I should have probably realized, cause you know, the main bass species, largemouth, smallmouth there, that would have really, you know, been a pretty big deal, but it just didn't really sink in until I saw all the outpouring of people on Facebook and all that.
Spread like wildfire. I mean, like literally I think the same day that it happened, I think I got it from like three or four different people. Like, hey, did you see this? You know, it's crazy. And the way we're all interconnected, I think makes it, you know, made it an even bigger deal than it would have been 10 years ago, 15 years.
Yeah. Say 15, 20 years ago, I feel like that would have been, like you would have seen it
when they released the next year, when they released the next year's fishing regulations, you would have seen like a new number. That's it. But now you get to see your face, your fish, your release video, all that stuff.
Oh, thanks to social media. Yeah. So
it's got its pros for sure. Who do you think, like you said, some people have reached out. I'm sure that you've had like local news people and that kind of stuff. Who's reached out that you were kind of like a little, you know, kind of thought it was cool or whoever, you know, like a Bassmaster or anybody?
Yeah, probably the one that kind of stands out is Louis Stout. He's with like Michiana Outdoors, but he does a lot of articles for Bassmaster and so forth. And when I think he got a hold of me through Dean, who got a hold of Dean through Steve Hansen up at Brownies Marine, is if I got the correct story, is that right, Dean?
Yeah.
So Louis had reached out to both Dean. He talked to Dean a little bit and then talked to me, and I was kind of keeping hush for the most part until everything got certified. I didn't want to be talking to a bunch of people and, right. you know, wanted that certification process to get completed. But yeah, so Louis Stout was one of the guys that we had talked to. And he's wrote an article, you know, he's the first one I really gave a lot of the detail to as far as how the catch went down and all that.
And obviously, I mean, the Smalley Talk podcast reaching out is obviously just a huge,
absolutely
huge, yeah. huge deal for sure. That's so cool. I mean, Josh has had a little bit of a similar experience. I mean, because you did catch a 13-inch fish that you talked a lot about, right?
Do you guys see that? Do you guys see that? I had seen that.
Yeah.
The orange smallmouth. Yeah.
Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Not awesome. Quite. Like, I would much rather have a state record than this 13-inch smallmouth. But hey, beggars can't be choosers.
Hey, you did some news media for your 13-incher, didn't you, Josh? So
that... yeah, I got interviewed. Yeah, it was in a few magazines and stuff. It's a weird feeling, Rex, on that getting like when you get media rounds. And by the way, if you guys need any connections on, if you aren't, you should be in Bassmaster magazine. They should do that. And if you're not, I'll make some calls because you guys should.
Whoa. Damn.
I know people at Bassmaster, so I can get you hooked up.
No, but. Josh, Bassmasters, not ass masters.
Speaking about the longevity of that record, the one that'll probably, I mean, who that may never get broken. I mean, not in Indiana. It's like one of those.
I don't know. Like, I definitely would have never. I definitely think you will hold a lake record forever, until the dam at Monroe breaks and drains forever. You will always own the Monroe Reservoir smallmouth record, unless someone.
I don't know. I don't think that'll ever get broken. I just don't see it.
I can see it coming off like one of the northern lakes, like a natural lake up there, Lake Michigan or something. Maybe.
Still, that's I would think lake. We would always thought like, well, I guess for one, when you caught that, it completely crushed my dreams because I was like, when the state record was 7.4, I was like, we've gotten close.
We could
get this. It's realistic, dude. You, I mean, add 8, another 000. Pound onto that.
It's never going to happen.
No, that's not. No, not happening. So
I might try and grow one in an aquarium or something. I don't know. But.
I think though that Indiana just doesn't have enough smallmouth fisheries. I mean, when's the last time there's been that big a fish caught in St. Clair? I mean, I don't, no. There probably has, but you know, it you hear about those anything, maybe not 8, you know, but like 9s you hear about for sure. I haven't heard anything. There was a 10 caught on Erie, was it the year before last? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything 9 anywhere up there. Like, so it's, I don't know, man. I think you'll be in the record books for a long time. I think that'll, and that's cool. Like, you know, kids, grandkids, all that. I mean, that name is going to be, you know, I'm not trying to make you feel, you know, emotional here, but I mean, that's a legacy, man. I mean, that's going to be around for a long time.
Are you going to have a replica made of the fish? I'm assuming.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that. Dean's going to help me out on that.
I was going to say, who's doing it? If you want to.
Not been figured out yet, but Dean's got a contact down there that does a lot of his taxidermy. You probably see some up in the background there.
Yeah, see some pelt back there. What's that in the middle there? What is that?
Those are two otters swimming in a circle.
I see.
The enemy of smallmouth.
I just gave a presentation at an event for my it's like a Christian outdoorsman deal. And they had some conservation officers there, and they said that they're essentially going to make an open. It'll be like a statewide otter season, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess. Yeah.
Hang on. You glossed over this, Chris. You spoke at a Christian men's fishing thing. Is that what it? Did they listen to this podcast before they?
I told them. I told them. I said, I said, guys, you know, the guy that I host this podcast with is got a disgusting foul mouth, and I don't like it. Personally, I don't like it. I think it's garbage. I think it's lowbrow. I don't like the language he uses. I don't like the sexual jokes that he makes. I don't like it one bit. But that's my story. If you're okay with me speaking,
so you guys fish, you know, been bass fishing in Indiana for 30 years. Do I know you guys say you fish Patoka. I know there's smallmouth in Patoka. You guys catch smallmouth in there? So
yeah.
Is that quite a bit more than Nuro then, you would say?
Maybe a little bit to some extent, maybe a little bit more, but you know, it's got a good population for sure. Yeah. And some nice ones too. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've seen more.
Brookville's a good smallmouth lake. I mean, you know, there are good, I mean, there are okay smallmouth lakes. It's just,
there we go. Okay.
I would have just never guessed Monroe. That's just so.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the size of Brookville. I've not heard of any, and maybe there are big ones. I just not heard, because I don't fish that lake very much. But I know there's a lot of smallmouth there. I just don't know what their size runs to. Mm-hmm.
I've caught one smallmouth in Brookville, and it was like 3 pounds, and it was in a tournament. But other than that, but I know that, you know, it's a dammed up whitewater river. Like we fish the whitewater. There's definitely a bunch of smallmouth in it. By the way, Dean, nice hat there, bud.
Yeah.
Was that?
Oh, Chris, Purdue? You want one of these, bud? Yeah. Chris is a little boiler maker.
Purdue grad. What's up?
What do you got? I may or may not be friends with the Purdue fishing team coach. I can get you one. I can hook it up.
I would like that very much. My Boilermakers are about to lay some waste to a number 16 seed.
Well, I wouldn't speak too soon on that, but
we should. As long as it's not the perennial powerhouse of Farley Dickinson, yeah, they'll be it.
Don't produce grads too, Chris and Josh. Oh, well, that makes all four of us then.
No,
I'm not a Purdue grad. Chris is.
No?
Okay. Those three Boilermakers in here. Is that what we got? Dang. You guys are in enemy territory. What made you move down to Southern Indiana? That's got to be torture down there, man.
When I first moved down here, it was pure torture because I didn't mind IU basketball growing up in Central Indiana. But once I moved down south, it got really tough. So
yeah. I'm the same way. I'm not like I graduated from IU law school, so I'm not. You know, whatever, it's fine. But I gotta say, I don't hate the fact that they just suck so bad right now. I mean, I don't hate IU basketball at all, but you know, I have to assume that if Purdue sucked, IU fans would be intolerable right now. So,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. I mean, March is the season for, and by the way, Josh, on our trip to the Susquehanna, I will be taking a very brief recess so that I can watch our NCAA tournament.
I'll be fishing, bud. I ain't taking a recess with you. So
well, anyways, guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on and telling us about the fish and just talking to us. I mean, it's such a cool thing. Have you done a bunch of other podcasts or have you done our radio shows or anything?
No, I've done some short interviews and some things like that. This is the first official podcast. So no, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
you guys have any shout outs? I know you guys tournament fish. You got local tackle shop sponsors, anything that you want to put out there for our listeners?
Well, for me, it's a lot of thanks goes to my cousin Dean for keeping me, you know, calm and not doing something silly like turning this fish loose, you know, and going to the house. But
I mean, the story would have been so much weaker if it was just like, I caught an 8-pounder out of Monroe and then let it go. People would
go.
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you did, man.
Well, yeah. So thanks to Dean and Chad Smith, who he's a high school fishing coach for Owen Valley there in Spencer, and Aaron McAlexander and Colson Head and a lot of other people kind of helped, you know, Matt Mauder and Dave Kataka, who work for the INDR. So all those guys and people up at Spencer's at Babs Supermarket, Jane Parks and Bev Terrell, who helped weigh the fish in, allowed us to use our scale. So if we hadn't been able to track down a certified scale in a reasonable time, I would have certainly had to turn that fish loose. So because my whole, like I said, the whole objective was to keep that fish alive. Yeah.
You weighed it in a supermarket. I did not even think about where you would find a certified scale. I was thinking that biologist had, you know, some scale that he's like, oh, bring that you in the supermarket.
Yeah. Really? I called several supermarkets in the Bloomington area and no one would do it. One really? Person was like, well, we would love to, we all fish, but no, we just can't. And then I was calling, I've got farmer buddies that have their own businesses that they weigh a bunch of little things out. And I found all kinds of scales, but none of them were certified.
Well, what was the reason for the grocery stores not wanting to do it? Just like the press of it or what?
I think potentially it's maybe some health regulations, just, hey, a live fish in here or whatever. So hopefully the place that weighed it is, you know, okay. But it was tough finding it. And
I mean, in Bloomington, they're probably worried about some blue haired, you know,
right,
you know, whatever, absolutely, like coming after them.
Yeah. I called some deer processing places and
no certified ones. Huh?
The certified was the hardest part because it's certified, you know, it's weights and measures and it has to be done within the year, so every year. So Rex had to get all the paperwork for that to document. So it's tough.
I don't even know what I would. Supermarket is interesting though, that's where you end up getting it. Can you get like your personal scale certified?
You can. So where I used to work, we did a lot of stuff where we had to have certified weights. So basically that one was through weights and measures, but there was a company we used that would put a sticker on it every year, inspect it on this date and certified. So, I even called back to that place and asked them, but they weren't doing that type of stuff anymore. So that was the hardest part of the whole thing. I mean, I called a game warden first off, and then a property manager at one of the bluegrass properties down here. And they all kept referring me to the website for the, you know, you can look it up, Indiana State Record Fish, and here's all the steps you have to follow. Which you read down the whole thing and everything. Well, everything's easy except for this certified scale.
Right.
And being a Sunday, you know, if it'd been during the week, possibly, you know, one of the state property there would have had one. I'm not real sure. You would have thought maybe the fishing shed there would have had one, the little tackle shop right there, but called them. Yeah. They didn't have one. So,
Yeah.
So if you're planning on catching that state record, you might get you a certified scale carry, and
I mean,
then you'll seal the deal.
But we had a guy, he's a world record holder. He holds a few different world records for line class on, and he went through that whole deal where the line he was using wasn't certified, and like he got a bunch of, you know, they bounced it. They wouldn't put it in. And he finally, he's broken it a couple times since then.
Wow.
But fly fishing, crazy. But cool. Yeah, that's, it's crazy that, yeah, it's crazy, whatever. It's crazy that all that had to come together though. I mean, you know, the fact that you were gonna put it back and Dean convinced you to not put it back, and then he had the wherewithal to make all these calls. That could have easily just not.
Like I said, it's a completely different story of some guy just being like, I caught an eight pounder out of Monroe, and people are like, yeah, okay. I mean, because, you know, whatever. I just, it's a, Yeah, it's pretty amazing, man.
I mean, to be fortunate enough to have a conservation officer witness the weigh-in, you know, that's was great in itself. And then to have the biologist meet me back at the ramp to examine a fish and document its release, you couldn't have put it together any better in the end to have a record fish certified. It all just worked out perfect in the long run, but it sure took some getting there to make it happen, though.
I'm sure the fish biologist was all over it, though. He probably heard 8-pound smallmouth and was like, "Whoa, I'll come in on a Sunday for that. I'll come check that shit." You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's like a. I mean,
I would have driven down to Bloomington to see that.
I was gonna say, if you'd have called me at my house, I probably would. Yeah, I'll come take a peek. I'll come take a gander.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, it really, congrats to you, Rex. That's a huge accomplishment, and I know.
Hey, I'm proud that we have you on the podcast. I mean,
I know. Yeah. I was like telling my wife, I was like, "Hey, guess what we're having the podcast tonight? It's state record holders coming on." So pretty cool.
She was like, "Wow, look at this bud that I married." Wow.
Oh my. But yeah, I mean, pretty cool. Awesome that you put Indiana's starting to become kind of a cool fishing state, and I don't know if the stories are adding up to be actually what the fishing's like here, but you know, we'll take it. So you know, the new state record smallmouth, would have never thought it would have came out of Monroe. So that's a 30 years of fishing, man. That's what it takes. 30 years, you know, 30 years of going out there and doing it.
A lot of luck. Yeah, I say a whole lot of luck involved.
I mean, yeah, but that's what fishing's part of luck. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it moves us up quite a bit though in the old in the list of state. I was trying to look it up while we're talking here because there's a there's a list somewhere where you can look up all the state records. Oh, here it is. So Indiana, it will now be top 15 for sure.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's really cool. I wonder how many times that fish has been caught. I always think about that. How many times that fish has been caught on like a bobber and live bait, and just either somebody just got completely snapped off, or they were catfishing. So I'm like, "Oh, I don't know what that is," and just threw it back.
Like I say, she's still swimming around, so somebody could catch her again soon, and you never know.
For sure. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. Truly appreciated it. It was nice speaking with you both, and we want to. Everybody that comes on the podcast has to. We always do Free the Fighter as like the sign off for the podcast. So the guests say Free the Fighter, and then we sign off. So thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you very much.
So Free the Fighter.
Free the Fighter.
There you go.
I love it, boys. I love it. Hey, stay on. Guys, I'm gonna chat with you real quick after we end this, okay?
Josh is gonna try and get the spot from you. Don't let him do it. Don't give any details.
No.